Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
Support for this podcast comes from UCSF Medical Center. UCSF Medical Center is ranked the number one hospital in California by U.S. News and World Report. UCSF Health, redefining possible.
Listening to NBC Sports Radio. Weekends, this is the Two Robbies Football Show. Your number one source for Premier League football on NBC Sports Radio. Now, your hosts, Robbie Musto and Robbie Earl.
Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies Football Show here on NBC Sports Radio. I'm Robbie Musto.
And I'm Robbie Earl. And I'm not sure there's been another weekend with such big storylines, Robbie Musto. Payet doesn't want to play. Costa's injured and might be going to China. And Sanchez, well, he's just grumpy. His player power returning back to the Premier League. We're going to start the show at the King Power Stadium. Chelsea put three past Surrey Leicester to win the game 3-0. But all the talk after the game was Diego Costa. And is he on his way to China?
Well, that's what we're going to find out. But lots of talk about, though, with this story, the way he's behaving. It's dominating before, during and after the match. Very tight-lipped Antonio Conte about it before and after the game. Didn't really say much about it. Just kind of batted it away in some ways, Rob, saying it's an injury. He hasn't trained since Tuesday and failed to accept there's been any kind of offer from China. That's the kind of what we've got from the football club. But we know there's all the newspapers are going with it, Rob. They China want this guy. Where are we? Where are we at with how this is developing?
What I understand, and we've been told that Diego Costa has a injury, and I'm going to say inverted commas, so we don't know if that's real, but I think that's a little bit of a smokescreen. The rumours are that his head's been turned by some astronomical numbers. We're talking like £700,000 or
yeah, something. I think it amounts to like 10 times his income.
Yeah, 10 times
his
income.
Net money over in China.
To move to China.
Yeah.
His head's been turned, Rob. And it seems to me that he personally wants to go. Now, from what I gather, it looks like the players are trying to keep him on side and maybe say apologise to the manager, apologise to the club,
and
we can move forward. And there's no doubt, Rob, and I think I've got to state this, Diego Costa playing well, fit and focused in the team is a huge asset, is unique in the Premier League at what he does. But for me, and I'm talking as a player in the dressing room, if after a week or two this continues, and they're talking that this could go up to 6 weeks, Rob, because the Chinese transfer window goes into February, so it could still be sold during the February. If this continues, I'd want him out. I don't want to derail my title chances, Rob, and I know
well,
he's good, and I know
but
he's important.
But you're derailing it if you let him have his way.
If I let him have his way, but if I don't let him have his way, are we not returning to what we saw last season with Jose Mourinho, where we heard things behind the scenes, and there was player power. There was players not playing. We've seen the difference in 12 months, what Antonio Conte's got to do. He's got to be strong now, Conte. He's really got to be strong with what he does.
The club have got a big decision to make, Rob.
Correct.
Are they going to? Because the first things first, they have to accept the offer of the transfer of the player to the club, and they're talking about £80 million, which is just over $100 million. They can say no, and I know I'm kind of speaking a little bit tongue in cheek because these deals often get done, but they can say no, and they can say to Diego Costa, "Sorry, Diego, you're still a really important part of this. We don't want to lose you. Maybe we'll look at it again in the summer, but at the moment you're staying," and they can make him stay. Mm-hmm. Now, to continue on that point, we know what sort of guy he is.
Yeah.
He's a inflammatory, volatile. he's fired up. He can be aggressive. And we saw that little altercation between the two of them in the game. We wanted to come off, and the manager said, no, you stay on. After that, Costa got back on track and did
fantastically well. You think he can get back on track? You don't think he's broken?
I don't take it lightly of just saying, well, if he's going to want to go and he's going to be miserable for a couple of weeks, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks, you say, okay, yeah, we'll let him go. I think they've got to fight hard to keep him.
But what if you keep the Diego Costa that's not motivated, that starts having hamstring injuries, that has the back?
Is he going to keep doing that, Robbie, when they're trying to get a title race?
If he wants to go to China that badly, Rob, and he thinks that the club has denied him that opportunity, who's to say what you're going to get out of him? And this is a unique... You make a really good point. It just triggered a thought. This is unique to Chelsea. Chelsea have been the money team. Chelsea have bought who they wanted over the past few years. We're now in a scenario where as much money as Chelsea play, they can be outdone by a Chinese club, and their players' heads have been turned.
Roman Abramovich is a very, very strong owner with loads of money. He can absolutely say no. He's not getting his own way. He's a Chelsea player, and we're not going to take it. The manager, Antonio Conte, he's a hard guy, and he can say, no, you're staying here. All I'm saying is, Robin, I'm tempted to go on argue this case, but because after February goes through and it calms down a little bit, and the players still try and get him back involved, I think he can turn around. I think he can U-turn. Think Wayne Rooney back at the time where he wanted to leave the football club. I know it's different, but it wasn't money so much. It was more the ambition of the football club. But he did do a U-turn, and Sir Alex Ferguson convinced him to stay at the club, that his future was there. All at the club, over the next few weeks, I've got to try and do the same thing. I think where we differ is you're saying he's going to kick up a real stink, and it's just not worth keeping him.
No, but I think it's the money, Rob. I think you're also missing out. It's the money that's involved. This guy's 27 years of age. He could go for China for 3 years, make absolute shed loads of money, and then come back to a major league, and he would still be an attraction. He would still walk into many top European clubs.
But the club has still got to agree the transfer, Rob.
Correct.
They can offer him whatever they want.
I don't disagree.
That's the critical point. Abramovich is going to say, you know what, we've had 2 or 3 weeks now, he's still being a real pain, it's not helping the dressing room, and our results have dropped off maybe, we've got to get rid of him. That's what we don't know right now, and we're just trying to speculate how that might play out.
We are, and let's just play, I know we're talking ifs and buts, but if he does lose, Rob, does this affect Chelsea's title hopes? This changes the dynamic at the top of the table. When we thought at times, we were looking before the Spurs defeat, how are you going to break this Chelsea team down? They just keep winning, they're just a machine, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, what do we say?
And we said an injury to Costa. We didn't say a transfer to China.
Yeah.
We said an injury to Costa could be
so key. I think it's going to make an impact in their title challenge, yes. I think it brings them back into the pack, in my opinion. Now, we've seen today in this game against Leicester City, those three players were poor, and the front three of Hazard and Pedro and Willian did a great job. But there's another 17 games of the season to ask those guys to do that job. I think it makes an impact for the title. Now, whether they're going to have more trust in Batshuayi, could they bring in Fernando Llorente, Robbie, that he's worked with before and likes as kind of a stopgap?
Interesting. And let me just put a point to you. They've got Hull next in the Premier League at home. They've got a home game against Brentford in the FA Cup. Then Robby Musto. At the end of January, they've got Liverpool away and Arsenal at home. Two very big games that you have to have either Diego Costa onside, fit and playing, or you have to have Diego Costa out of your football club, Rob, for me.
Yeah, but so where does that leave us? If he does go, and if you're right, and they say, you know what, we don't want this guy behaving like this, we're going to sell him, are they, right now, well, let's just rewind 1 week. They're absolutely title favourites for the Premier League.
Still.
So are they still, in 2 weeks' time, if he leaves the football club, are they still favourites for you?
Just favours. I still think there's enough there, Rob. I saw things today. I saw the celebrations when the goals. I saw the little bit of spirit after the game. I think they'll bring somebody in if they need to. Yes, for me, there would still be title challenges. But it certainly gives a little bit of
gives a lot
incentive to the other teams to try and make that. Let's get to another point, because listen, we've both been players, and we both earn salaries, and we both, you know, we're doing okay, but we'd always like a little bit more. If one of these Chinese came in for you, mid-Middlesbrough career, you're 26, 27 years of age, and they're offering you that kind of money, 10 times your salary, you telling me you'd stay or you'd go?
I'd go. but that's a totally different scenario. Ask me again if I'm at Chelsea Football Club. I could potentially win a title. I could potentially go on and win the Champions League. And I'm earning a boatload of money anyway.
Well, you're earning a tenth of the money.
I don't go.
But your agent's telling you the deal, the money you're looking at, it's tax-free money, it's blah, blah, blah.
I know, and the numbers are huge, and I don't say it lightly.
I think I would go. I've got to be honest, I think I would go.
And you can suck up playing in that league for 2 or 3 years. Can you imagine, Costa, how many red cards he's going to be getting and people he's going to be fighting with to handle that frustration?
He's going to be doing French sway and things when he goes to China. He's going to completely change. He'll be fine. I just think, Rob, that this whole Chinese money and the influence of what they can do is certainly changing the dynamic of the whole
league. And that's the topic we should move on to finally in this is, you know, we've seen players leave for China. Oscar is an example at Chelsea Football Club.
Ramirez.
Other players have gone there.
Graziano Pelle.
This is putting this on a whole new level, Robbie Earle. Oh. Every club now, owner, has to be worried that his star player could be a target for a Chinese club. Yeah. I just think this... We didn't anticipate this affecting the very... Because he's one of the very best players in the league. Is this serious from China? Is this going to grow? Where's this going?
It becomes more serious if Diego Costa makes a move, because once one goes... It opens up a whole can of worms, Rob. This is Chelsea Football Club with one of the richest owners in the world who can win titles, can win Champions League,
with a
massive decision that might have a big effect on Premier League football all over.
Yeah, and just what we did as well, Rob, we did tweet out about this and wanted to get a reaction from fans, Chelsea fans, etc. And to be fair, we got a mixed bag. We have one from Yanira PR to say, when Costa left Atletico Madrid, nobody died. The team got new players and moved on. Chelsea will win the Premier League without him. He can go and make dollars in China and he will not be missed. Another one just from Mima on a different angle. Not a Chelsea fan, but I'd hold on to Costa till the summer at least. Take the risk.
Yeah, there was lots of different views out there, Rob. Some people saying it's too valuable in the current market, have to hold on to him through the summer. Some are saying if the few or rumours are true, then send him away, bring somebody else, and don't let him become a cancer. And Radu Madonescu said, would keep Costa on the squad till the end of the season and sell him to China.
Let's have a final question on this, and it's speculative and it's a little bit of fun. Is Costa going to play another game for Chelsea Football Club ever?
No. What do you say?
Yes.
Interesting, Robbie Mustard. Listen, we're going to take you to the break on the day when Chelsea made sure the Spurs' defeat was nothing more than a blip, but right on track against Leicester today, but it was without Diego Costa and there's lots of negative headlines around the football club. We'll take a short break and then turn our attention to Super Spurs, who look right in the groove at the moment against West Bromwich Albion. You're listening to Two Robbies Football Show on NBC Sports Radio. We'll be back in a tick.
Welcome back to the Two Robbies Football Show. Time for the CarMax Player of the Week. With no haggle prices and a 5-day money-back guarantee, CarMax is the stress-free way to buy your next car. CarMax, drive what's possible. This week's Player of the Week is...
Kane! Oh, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful! Times three! Harry Kane hat-trick! Spurs 4-0! Ali and Kane, born to be together! Tottenham twins! What a pair they are!
It had to be the Prince, didn't it? Prince Harry hat-trick today. Rob, I can't tell you how impressed I was with Spurs today. It was just one of those games where you're looking and you're almost envious that you couldn't be part of that team. Everybody playing on the game, everybody wanting the ball, everybody looking fit as a fiddle, everybody committed to what they're trying to do. It was as accomplished performance as I've seen from Spurs over the last couple of years. I thought it's some of the best. It's certainly the best football they've played this season. And with Harry Kane scoring, with Dele Alli and Christian Eriksen underneath him now, you've been saying for a while, well, if Kane doesn't score, where are the goals going to come from? Yeah. I tell you what, at the moment, those three are looking like a serious three.
Yeah, and just briefly, this wasn't an easy game, by the way.
No.
They were very, very impressive against a West Brom team that sit eighth in the Premier League right now after that defeat. So just to get that out of the way, the people say, hang on a minute, it's only West Brom. They've been playing well. Stunning, important, interesting. They've kind of nicked the system from Chelsea, 3-4-3, which is new this year, Rob.
Okay,
we haven't seen
of
that.
No.
We haven't exactly plenty of stadium. We haven't seen this system for years,
no.
If at all, for a long period of time. And it fits Spurs like a glove.
It kind of fits Spurs maybe better than it fits Chelsea in a bizarre way.
Yeah, because they've got better wing backs in Danny Rose and Kyle Walker. The three centre backs are the best in the league. No chance,
and
hands
can
down.
Play, and can play in possession
Dyer,
all of them.
Alderweireld, Jan Vertonghen. We'll get back to Jan Vertonghen.
Yeah.
They've got an excellent goalkeeper. It absolutely suits Moussa Dembele and Victor Wanyama, and it frees up Eriksen and Dele to play behind Kane to do the damage. Now, I've always said about Spurs, Rob, what they're lacking is a star player, a difference maker, apart from Harry Kane, who I'm assuming is going to score another 24, 25 goals this season. Who else? Who's the Hazard? Who's the second player? Who's the Alexis? Like some of the other, who's the De Bruyne? That might be Dele Alli. That might be the guy. He's got, what, he's got 10 goals.
10 goals.
So he's on
field.
Track pretty
and
much for 20
like
goals,
going
Rob.
Crazy. Yeah.
He's on track for 20 goals. I mean, I like you, I couldn't believe how good they were today. And when you look at the league table now, they're second now. That could drop down after the big match tomorrow. But I think we have to
adjust our thoughts about this
club.
Listen, this top six, Robin, and we spoke about it today. And I sort of said to you, it's funny, isn't it? Because you watch teams like Spurs today and you go, wow, I mean... They could be part of the picture.
At least the top four.
I mean, said them. But what we tend to do, Rob, is see people on good days and go, wow, we've done it with Liverpool, we've done it with Spurs, we've done it with Man City when they started, we've done it with Chelsea. I think it's about how many bad days you have in this league. Who has the least amount of bad days might win the title. I think Chelsea are still good for that, because I think, in a strange way, Chelsea can win when they don't play well. Spurs, I'm still not sure if Spurs don't play well, do they win enough of those
games?
They
draw a lot of those.
They draw
a lot
of those
games.
I think Chelsea find a way of winning those games, and that might be the difference.
But, that being said, I mean, Spurs have only lost two. And I always look at that column for potential champions because, you know, historically, that number's going to be anywhere between 3 and 6, really. Mm-hmm. And at 2, they're in a very good position to make that number smaller. What's going to stop them? What's going to go wrong? And last year, best defensive record. This year, best defensive record. It's going to be those goals. Yeah. And it's not necessarily Harry Kane's goals. It is Dele. It is Christian Eriksen. Are they, Robbie Earle, good enough, ready enough, with this maturing squad, to keep up their standards? They're banging in the goals right now. Fours and twos and twos and four. They're banging in the goals.
I think with their defence, Rob, I think there is enough goals in this team. I do. I think with
because do you agree that that's what could stop them winning the title? I'm talking the title now. Because defensively, they're good.
I still think it's a mentality thing with this group. I think there's enough goals. I think they can defend enough. I think the system works. I think they can go between systems. There's something just about the mentality. And when they're good, Rob, they're very good. But I still have a question.
Elaborate on mentality.
So
you think that they could be inconsistent because of their youth?
Their kind of focus, their youth, maybe being a little bit adventurous against a certain team, one of the bigger teams, and not knowing how to see a game off. We saw them against Chelsea. They were excellent. But I just worry when the pressure's on, Rob, as the pressure got on last year. It's very different when you're coming down to 6 or 8 games to go and you start to see it, smell it, touch it, feel it. That's still my worry with this group. Can they mentally stay strong, stay together and get through difficult times?
My concern, it's not so much that. Again, it goes back to goals. And I'm just looking now at the squad. Heung-min Song, I mean, he's looked good. Eric Lamella's been out injured, could come back and make a difference. So, you know, are these players can be consistent enough to keep up this four more season?
Let me throw one more thing into it. Jan Vertonghen got a bad injury today that Pochettino said is a bad one, which sounds as though it's a month, 6 weeks at the very least. If it's ligament damage, we won't speculate, but that could be bad, Rob. That changes the game a bit. Do they have to go back to a back four with Dyer and Alderweireld, or does Bimmer just come in and straight replacement and keep everything else the same?
Yeah, I think they don't, for me, in my opinion, they're not switching the system. Kevin Vimmer comes in for Jan Vertonghen, a direct replacement. Vimmer's played recently. He's used to that system. You don't want to stop those. Walker and Danny Rose getting forward. Eriksen's playing the best I've seen him play in English football right now. And Dele, of course, is combining so well with Harry Kane. Just a like-for-like swap. Not great, but that's the way, that, in my opinion, they should continue.
Yeah, absolutely. Spurs are purring right now. Next, we'll look at two more teams with superstar players who they're not very happy at the moment. We'll talk West Ham and we'll talk Arsenal after the break. I'm Earl, he's Musto, and together with the Two Robbies Football Show on NBC Sports Radio, we'll be back in a moment.
Welcome back to the Two Robbies Football Show with myself, Robbie Musto, and my buddy here, Robbie Earl. Rob, let's move on to another team with a star player that wants to move on and doesn't want to play for his club anymore. West Ham United, brilliant reaction today. They beat Crystal Palace 3-0. Dimitri Payet is the other big story, Rob, that you alluded to at the start of the show. And in some ways, a lot worse, in my opinion, Diego Costa's actions. Basically saying to his manager, face-to-face, I don't want to play anymore. I want to leave the football club. I refuse to play.
Yeah.
How bad is that?
You just don't go there, Rob. When you sign a professional football contract and you're earning the kind of money he's earning and you're so important to that football club that's helped get you to a level where you're playing national football, where people are talking of you in a different light, it's disrespectful, it's unprofessional, and it's selfish. And I would get him out of the football club as soon as I can.
Just to clarify, we've seen players at clubs that that agitate for a move.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I can't remember many that's
down
that straight out.
No.
And of course, his poor manager Slaven Bilic, who described it afterwards, an interview that he didn't want to do. He was angry, he was let down, he was frustrated and disappointed. And he asked the player Dimitri Payet before going to this press conference, Rob, really, you've had time to think about it?
Yeah.
I'm going to go to the press. You got a chance to change your mind, and he didn't. Very damning, very disrespectful, as you said. And whatever the outcome of this, I think he owes it to the football club, West Ham United, to say, you know what?
Yeah,
it is out of order. I will stay here until the summer.
I don't think he can, Rob.
They're in trouble.
I don't think he can. I think when you do that to a group of fans and a group of players, I think, Rob, that there's no way back.
Billy said he won't sell him.
Well, he didn't want to sell him. But how can he go back onto that pitch and those West Ham fans
can apologize,
who loved him?
He can apologize.
He can apologize big time and say, oh, I've been misled or whatever. Yeah. But he has to come out and do that.
Yeah.
But I don't see it, Rob. Rob, this is the second or third time he's done it in his career, getting out of places like Saint-Étienne and Marseille in the first place. This isn't a one-off. And I look today, Rob, it was a huge game for both these teams, Palace and West Ham. West Ham got a 3-0 win, probably the best win all season. And I looked at a fellow, Rob, who cost $11 million from Nottingham Forest, Mikel Antonio, who's probably only in his second season in the Premier League. And let me tell you about this fella. When you take his shirt off after every game, you've got to wring it out. He puts that much sweat in. He's got 8 goals. He's assisted today. I'd have a team full of Mikel Antonios every week than the Dimitri Payet. And I'm going to get the Hydro
Payet. Everybody listening will agree with you. But the reality is, there's always these horrible players. I play with loads of them.
Yeah,
but
you don't have to accommodate. Let me tell you what would have happened with him if he's in the Wimbledon dressing room, by the way. Someone would have put him against the wall. Someone would have took his feet off the floor and said, who do you think you are?
Yeah, and listen, I played with a couple of players at Middlesbrough when we got relegated that wanted to leave. And it wasn't like that. I'll be honest with you. It was more like we just shunned them a little bit. Mm. And there was a bad atmosphere, et cetera, et cetera. There's no kind of physicality about it. And they ended up leaving the club. So let's just kind of fast forward. How is this going to play out?
It plays out that they sell him, Rob. They get as much money as they can, and they replace him, and they have to move on. And this team showed a little bit something today, you know. Without Dimitri Payet, they can still win games. Rob, let's just move over to Crystal Palace a little bit, the conversation, because Sam Allardyce has gone in there now, yet to get a win. You know, drew in the FA Cup as well. I mean, this hasn't been the start that Sam wanted. Team can't keep clean sheets, which is a Sam Allardyce trait when he keeps you up. There's a lot of work to do for Sam. He's got the window left. He's got Jeffrey Schlupp. But I can just see a couple of people coming in and maybe a couple going out.
Yeah, I think that's going to happen. I think that it's easy to, if you're a Palace fan, to say, oh, hang on a minute. We expected a bit more of an instant reaction.
I'm worried for you. I'm worried.
I'm not that worried, I'll be honest with you.
Why? Because of the manager and the players?
Because at Sunderland, it was a kind of a slow process of improvement. Mm. And you said it, a window, he brought Lamine Kone and he brought Jan Kirchhoff into those defensive spots. And all of it took him a while to find the right combination of players and types of players to fit it right and to be defensively strong. It took him a while, and it's taken him a while. All I would say is, I think when he got the job and we saw the press conferences, not that he looked smug, but he looked, this is a good job. I'm going to look good here because this squad's good enough to stay in the Premier League by a mile. And I think we said that they would, but is it a harder job than he thought right now? Yeah. And do you believe, like I do, that in time, with some signings over January, they are going to pull out of trouble?
Yeah, they've got to change their habits and their rhythm. A little worried when he talked about Benteke in a press conference and sort of said, well, you know, he should be... Wasn't the usual Sam Allardyce-like, you know, really strong with his centre-forward. We'll just have to see how that management goes. Let's move it on, Rob, to the other game today. Swansea got beat 4-0 by Arsenal and four good goals for Arsenal. Alexis Sanchez getting the fourth, and you're thinking, well that's a great result. Alexis Sanchez gets bought off, you're thinking, well, Arsene Wenger's resting him for the last 10 minutes or so. And then we saw another, Rob, and I can only call it a tantrum by Alexis Sanchez as he came off. He kind of refused shaking the man.
I wouldn't say a tantrum, more of a hard to understand disappointment.
No, I still think he bordered on a bit of a tantrum. He brushed somebody away. He kicked his gloves off. He put the hat over his... I mean, it was a very public statement.
Which is interesting.
That he's not happy with something.
And why wouldn't he be happy when you've scored a goal, you've won 4-0, you're in control, you're right towards the top of the league. What are we saying here? Well, is this genuine emotion, or is he playing the I'm unhappy card? Ooh.
Where are you going with this, Robbie Musto?
Well, I'll tell you where I'm going
with this.
Don't expect me to start signing new contracts right now, because I want everybody to know I'm not happy. I'm not playing where I was playing before. Listen, that's you. Why else would he not be happy?
Well,
that's two games now we've seen him like
I was
like
trying
this.
To say, maybe he scored his 14th goal today. Maybe he thinks, I'll get my 15th. Maybe he's one of those guys who likes to be on the pitch all the time. I'm just trying to think from his point of view. But the kind of very public way he did it, and he would know, Rob, that the camera's on him. He knows what he's doing.
So do you agree with me that he's acting here a little
bit? I think there's a few problems going on at the football club. I think he's either disappointed or frustrated that the contract hasn't been offered or the money that he wants, or else...
The team isn't good enough for him to stay.
The team might not be good enough, and he might start to think, you know what, I've got to manoeuvre my way out of this football club.
Swansea City, we talked a lot about Bob Bradley. We talked about trying to play away, an expansive way, and Paul Clements come in to say, I'm going to try and get back to playing the Swansea way. Expansive again today, but the same old story.
Yeah.
Very, very poor defensively. And I guess the question is he going to fall into the same trap, if it is a trap, that Bob Bradley, to try and play their way out of trouble? Or is this team really that bad that it doesn't matter, make a difference who's in charge? Or is this too early to tell?
Maybe a little bit of everything. But the first thing I'd say is, we've seen Bob Bradley go in and talk about coaching his way out. Paul Clements started the sort of coaching line, and I was a little bit sort of confused with the way he was going in. Let me tell you the first thing you've got to do. Stop conceding.
Well, how many times have we said that?
Block
that
off,
doesn't Paul Clement know that, then?
I don't know, but it didn't seem to me as though the most important thing he was saying was, we're going to block things off, we're going to be difficult to play again. Talked about coaching,
shape
and playing and all those sort of things you do with the ball. So that is a slight worry. The second thing is, it's becoming pretty obvious, and we're 21 games in, that this group of players, Rob, may not be good enough. This group of players may not have the spirit,
I would just change that. I think if I look at Ki-sung Young, Jack Cork, and I look at Sigurdsson, and you know, I think there's enough forward attacking players. I totally agree on the defence. Yeah, not good enough.
Goalkeeper at times hasn't been great either.
Yeah, so listen, we can't judge him just yet. What's he had, like a couple of games or something? Yeah. But you have to expect Swansea, you know, to block it up, to get a clean sheet. You know, grind out a 0-0 and build some kind of Foundation. Other games, Robbie, that happened today and other results. Burnley continue to impress at home. 1-0 victory against Southampton Football Club. Almost safe, by the way, Burnley Football Club.
Yeah.
Sunderland, on the other hand, massively struggling. Lost at home today. They've lost some key players to the African Cup of Nations.
Fans leaving it after 30 minutes, becoming pretty much the norm there. Watford and Middlesbrough, that was a 0-0 draw. A bit disappointing, an emotional day for with the passing of Graham Taylor. And a big win for Hull City, Rob. They won 3-1. Went down a goal, a penalty after 2 minutes, and then Marco Silva gets a result.
Abel Hernandez. Absolutely.
From nowhere.
Banging in the goals. And a new manager, a new bounce, a new belief, a new team spirit. I mean, when I see Hull play, and of course they've had plenty of tough games, it does seem that, you know, there's talk about the fans and how they get behind the team. It seems the atmosphere is a pretty good one. I watch the games. A home game, 3-1 against a Bournemouth side that's a little bit funny. Marco Silva's, of course, got that history of doing so well with so little at Estoril in Portugal. They're third bottom, absolutely in touch with, same points as Crystal Palace. Middlesbrough only 4 points away. Are you a lot more encouraged? Should the Hull fans be more encouraged that Hull have got enough to stay up?
Yeah, I think they've got a manager who seems to know his way. He's been in difficult situations before. He's coached his way out. The team look a little bit committed. So, listen, they've closed the gap. They've made it all much more difficult now. And a little bit of optimism for Hull City. We haven't said that too many times this season. Right, mate, we've got one more segment to go. And we'll focus on what is a super-duper Sunday of football. Everton hosts Manchester City, Goodison, and then the big one. Manchester United take on Liverpool at the Theatre of Dreams. It's much-watched TV, and we'll debate both the games when we get back. This is the Two Robbies Football Show. We'll be back in a tick.
Welcome back to the Two Robbies Football Show. Now, my friend, it's time to preview and look ahead to tomorrow. Big games, none bigger than the biggest rivalry in English football. Manchester United will host Liverpool tomorrow, 11 o'clock kickoff. Before that, we'll be on the air 7:30 a.m. on NBCSN ahead of the Everton Man City game. And in that pre-game show, Rob, we're going to kind of do some analysis along with the guys in the UK that will have a pitchside desk for this game about why Manchester United have improved so much. We've all got our different theories and we can bring it all together. But it has been stunning. Yep. 9 consecutive victories for Jose Mourinho's Manchester United side. What's different now?
Consistency for me, Rob. And I talk particularly down what I think is the spine of the team. Obviously, De Gea is an outstanding goalkeeper, has been for the last few years in the Premier League. I think Jones and Rojo have been a surprise, but have given them some consistency. Michael Carrick being a regular part and regulating the midfield that's allowed Herrera and Pogba to get forward and join in. And Zlatan, Rob, has scored more goals than any of us thought and continued to score goals and being an influence.
Yeah, I've always been a big fan of Ibrahimovic, and we have conversations with our NBC team, the UK guys and us, and there's a mixed reaction about how he was going to do this season. I always kind of stood up for him because I've seen him play, and I thought he'd be fine in the Premier League at 35 years of age. I think in generalising a little bit about Manchester United and what I'm seeing now, I saw it in the cup game, they've had a couple of cup games over the last week, is that the players seems so much more relaxed.
Yeah.
I know the victories bring that, and I know that the victories bring Jose Mourinho being happier, less stressed with the media, and everything calms down a little bit. He's laughing and joking, and that totally goes through to the players. It's almost like the players are now kind of feeling, we're not really on trial anymore. He knows what we're going to give. He's happy now with some of the football that we're playing. There's less pressure, I think, on the team. And I think it's showing the football is free-flowing, it's creative, good movements going forward. Mourinho is playing more of an attacking style, Robbie, than I thought he was going to play.
It's interesting because I want to get through to the tactic. What kind of game do you think we'll see? I mean, the first game at Liverpool was a bit of a bore draw. I mean, Jose went and parked the bus. It was a lot earlier in his tenure, and he didn't have that consistency. He didn't have that confidence. It wasn't a happy Manchester United. Yeah. It's different now. Good form, scoring goals, got a threat, got consistency. Is he as pragmatic as we've seen him, or do you think he'll be a little bit more open?
Yeah, he has to be open, Rob. That's what the fans demand at Old Trafford. And to be fair, he's trying to show us that. I think they'll get better at that. I think it's going to be fascinating because Liverpool, you know, Sadio Mane has been their star player. Top goal scorer, he's away, African Cup of Nations, so they've got to do without him. Coutinho coming into the team is a question mark. Who plays up front? Is it Sturridge? Is it Origi? They have to have their full Henderson has to be fit. Mm. Lallana, that might push him into an advanced position. Yeah. There's a couple of positions in the seam. Matip, is he going to be fit? I feel that Liverpool have to be as strong as they can be without the guys that are away and injured and stuff to give United a game. I think.
Do you?
Yeah.
You look at their record against the top six, Rob. They're top of the table, 1-3, drawn 2, not lost against the top team. I get the sense with this group, they're up for big games. I think that's one of Klopp's kind of specialities, making sure his team are up and ready to go and impose themselves in big games. I still think there's a chance for Liverpool going to Old Trafford tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, they've got that counter-attacking option. I think Origi will play instead of Sturridge. You know, and I know that a lot of the Liverpool fans prefer Daniel Sturridge, but I think in this particular game, he needs the energy. Firmino has to be on top form, Robin. That's my only concern with Liverpool. For this game and going forward, they've been magnificent. Mm. Absolutely fantastic going forward with some of the attacking football. Can they be consistent enough, Rob, in this game and going forward to maintain their challenge at the very top?
See, I just look at this Liverpool team and I think if they can, what I call light fires, inject pace and make it difficult in areas of the pitch for Manchester United, I still think they can cause them problems. I think Manchester United want to put fires out when they can, control the possession.
Can they control the midfield against Liverpool?
That's where I think they've got
Henderson,
a chance.
Lallana,
I wonder about Herrera and Pogba and Carrick's mobility when they haven't got the ball. That's where I think Liverpool's key to winning the match.
And your defensive situation that you like Jones, I think could be injured. So you could go back to Jones and Smalling on the counter-attack against a Divock Origi or a Firmino coming in from the side. Mm. That could really be a problem on the counter-attack. It's going to be a fascinating game.
Yeah, one of those you can't wait for, must game. That's a big match covered and we'll be on air from 7.30 tomorrow for the start of the kick-off of a 8.30 kick-off at Goodison where Everton take on Manchester City. That just leaves us time to reward the tweet of the day. That goes to Nick Bradford, who tweeted, he'd hold on to Diego Costa of Chelsea in the current market. You have to hold on to him till the summer and get $60 million plus for him then. So make sure your direct message is your address, Nick, and we'll get to Robbie Scarfe in the post to you. So that's it for this week when Chelsea got back to winning ways, but Diego Costa was nowhere to be seen, and we can't wait for the drama to unfold at the Theatre of Dreams tomorrow. And remember, for more debate, discussion, and often disagreement, make sure you subscribe to the iTunes to the Two Robbies podcast, making sure you rate and review the shows. It goes a long way to increasing our coverage and getting more people involved in the game. And as ever, you can listen to the Two Robbies football show each and every Premier League Saturday, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on NBC Sports Radio. And finally, thanks to the crew in Culver City, you guys are the MVPs.
Yeah, thanks for listening to the show and letting us know your thoughts through social media. We certainly had plenty of them. We'll be back next Saturday, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on NBC Sports Network. Until then, it's good night from me.
And good night from him.
Good night.
Want to earn extra cash for the holidays? Amazon Flex is expanding in the San Francisco Bay Area. Opportunities in Richmond, Oakland, and Daly City. Earn around $20 to $27 an hour delivering packages with Amazon. All you need is a car, a smartphone, and some free time. This is a great opportunity to be your own boss, deliver when you want, and make extra money. With Amazon Flex, you'll have flexible hours and great earnings. To get started, download the app at flex.amazon.com. That's flex.amazon.com. You must be at least 21 years old. Limited opportunities available. Get started at flex.amazon.com.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.